Welcome to The Startup Show. I'm your host, John Biggs. In every episode of The Startup Show, we talk to an amazing entrepreneur about how they do what they do. We'll explore tactics, tricks, and techniques for building some of the coolest things on the planet. Thanks for listening and enjoy.
Welcome back to The Startup Show. I'm John Biggs. Today on the show, we have Steve McKinney of McKinney Consulting. Welcome, Steve. Why don't you tell us what you're working on?
Hi there, John. Thanks for having me today. Well, we're working on several things. We, as you know, we're based in Seoul, South Korea, and we do executive searches for multinational companies, Fortune 100s, and a lot of great small, medium enterprise companies. And so we've been busy doing that, and I've been busy also working on a book and some online coaching programs. And so I've been quite busy, actually, these days.
So right now, it seems like we're in a fairly difficult position when it comes to recruiting, getting jobs. I'm seeing a lot of, I would say, like mid-level knowledge workers are having a heck of a time. So what would you recommend? What do you think is going on, first off? And what would you recommend for folks who are trying to find a gig in this economy?
That's a good question. I think some of the challenges are people just understanding what they're good at. In other words, oftentimes people look at a situation and say, oh, that's a great company, or that's a great title, or the money's great, or the location is great. And all of those things are important and they are wonderful. But perhaps one of the greatest thing that they should be looking at is the fit, to see, you know, do they really fit in doing, you know, with that company in that situation? And let me just give one example. Mm-hmm. When I used to be the head of R&D for the world for Adidas, or correct name is Adidas, actually, we recruited from people from, or I did, from all over different companies around the world. And you would think, okay, same type of company, similar customers, somewhat similar products. So what would be the challenge? Well, what I identified back then, even those days, is that sometimes someone could be a superstar in one company and a super failure in another. And that's just totally because they haven't figured out the corporate culture. They haven't figured out also how they think, how they work, how can they succeed. You know, I personally succeeded in that role, a very senior role as head of product development for the world, but it wasn't easy. And it wasn't easy because they believed in a very open environment, a working situation where everybody's open. And when I studied in university, I had to go to the quietest place I could find. No noise, no music, nothing, just so I could focus and study. So it made it very difficult for me to lead in that position. So I had to compromise. I had to do things like come in really early in the morning to do things that really required focus, so that I could be free for all the people that are coming at me and all the different product lines and 100 new products literally every quarter that we were creating globally. To do my role, I had to really compromise. So that was a big eye-opener for me, I think.
Mm-hmm. So it's a, that suggests that you've already gotten past like the first stage of the interview and you actually got the job. So what are some of the ways to shine in a resume or shine in an interview situation?
Oh, okay. Good question. I think one of the things is talking about yourself. Very few people learn how to speak about themselves in a very positive and a very proactive way. I think by just being humans, we're humble. We don't want to brag, and no one wants to hear someone brag. But if you're in an interview setting, it's the perfect time where you need to talk about the key features and benefits that you offer to an organization. Let's say you're talking about a car, for example. You wouldn't talk about all the 1,000 components. You'd say the 18-inch chrome wheels, the turbo engine, these key features. So when you're talking about yourself and presenting yourself to a client, what are those key features? And let me just maybe give you one example. When I was one of the achievements I'm most proud of, for example, was when I managed the largest factory in the world for Reebok by working with global logistics leaders and the local management staffs. I coordinated the production of a 5,000 person factory, mm-hmm. producing 1.2 million pairs of shoes a month.
Wow.
Factory costs at about $35 million a month, which is about $90 to $100 million of retail a month. So I just described that achievement to you in less than 1 minute. And even if you know nothing about that industry, you could appreciate that in that logical sequence, the way I did that was what I did, how I did it, and the results of it. So then the person interviewing me can then ask me questions about it. We can go deep. You know, you can go all kinds of places because they understand, oh, okay, this person has done something that I can equate to. But oftentimes, that's not what I hear. When we're interviewing folks, it may take them 5 to 10 minutes and my head's still spinning and I'm trying to figure out, no, what's important in that? Because they're saying things or using terminology or they're referring to things that maybe they just assume that you would catch, that you might know, and maybe you do, maybe you don't. Because, you know, even within the same industry, there's different vernacular, there's different words and use for different brands. Like in the athletic footwear industry, you could hear someone talking and say, oh, that's a Reebok person, or that's a Nike person, or Adidas. You know, I know it sounds weird, but it's really true, and it crosses lots of industries which we work in, that same nuanced way of speaking about your industry. So I think to know yourself, to be able to explain yourself in a very clear, concise manner. So, and that's not bragging. None of the things I just mentioned about myself is bragging. It's the facts. I did it. I can prove it. You know, am I perfect? No, but you didn't ask me if I was perfect. You know, you said, what can you do for me today? And I think,
go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, and the second thing is that because people are kind of selfish if you think about it, because when they're looking to hire, they think, what can you do for me? You know, that's what they're really thinking about. What can you do for me? And that's okay. We need to let them know what it is, you know, we can do for them. And one way is describing a logical sequence.
What's the biggest mistake folks make when they walk in on the job day one?
I think what biggest mistake they make from walking in the job day one. I think not being honest with themselves. Sometimes people will say the things that they think that you want to hear. I've had people I had to fire somebody basically who had promised and said all the right words to me in the interview. But then when we got doing to the job, they couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. They didn't like it. They didn't want to do it. It's totally out of character for them. So they did me no favors. They did my company. They did themselves no favors by not being honest with themselves about who they are, what they can do, what really makes them happy, so they can succeed. Because the bottom line is the individuals, the companies, the organizations they represent, everybody needs to succeed. So we have to be transparent and honest about, you know, who we are and what we can do and what we want to do.
Interesting. What's the training about? What's the book that you guys are working on about?
Yeah, that's very, thank you. What we're working on is, it's kind of interesting, I think, in my background, if you look at the fact that I majored in music, I'm a tenor, singer, and conductor. And then later on, I got into athletic footwear industry, as I just described it to you, working for production and Reebok, and then R&D, research and development for Adidas. And then I created my own company in 2001, an executive search and leadership consulting business. And I was also took on the role of a government official for the Seoul Metropolitan Government for a couple of years. And so when you look at those things, and I built an international school, right, and I'm on a couple of boards and things. So I've had quite a variety of experience, and you think, wow, maybe Steve's a genius. How could he do all these things? But I'm not a genius. First of all, I'm not a genius. We know that. All right. But I learned how to apply myself. Okay. How can I be successful? What's that common thread, right, that allows me to succeed as a singer, right? I've sung at Carnegie Hall with my university choir. I've sung for the president of Korea in South Korea, right? So how can I achieve all these things, all right, and succeed? It's by learning my success factors, which is part of the book and part of the online training program I'm creating called Success Factors. It's helping pull that out of people. Mm-hmm. All right. So part of the book is about that, about how can I pull that out of you so we identify what is your success factors, your success pattern, and then how to apply them in your life. And no matter what the situation you're going into, you can step back and look at that and say, okay, can I use my success factors, my Superman qualities or my Superwoman qualities in this role? And if the answer is yes, I can guarantee you that the odds are very, very high you will succeed. But if it's no, you should run from it. All right. So that's part of it. And the other part is I've been doing a lot of global business now for over 25 years with a lot of multinational companies, which you know of, Fortune 100 companies. And what are those success things that people do in multinational companies? Like when I coach Saudi Aramco people or Pepsi people or Coke or BMW, you know, I coach a lot of these folks. Well, what do they do and how do they do that? And how do I become a global leader? And today's society, to answer your question previously also, I think is how can we succeed in the future in our job hunt, in these careers? I think is first by knowing your success factors, knowing who you are, what you do, how you achieve, whether you're making music or you're making shoes. All right. Mm-hmm. And then how can you apply that? And then I think be agile and adaptable to society, because in today's generations, we have to be multiplayers. We have to be multi-talented, multi-skilled to be able to do a variety of things, all right, to survive and thrive in this world. It's no longer like my dad's culture where you worked at one job 35 years and that's it. That doesn't exist anymore, all right? So what does that mean? We have to develop our talents, our skills, and be agile and adapt and be able to continue growing. Look at AI. It's amazing what's happening, what we're all doing in that right now, and what we will be doing in the future and how that will affect everything that we do. It's going to be huge, all right? And it is huge already. So I think those are things I'm trying to cover in the book. How can I help great leaders become better? How can they learn from my past experiences and things and apply themselves to not only succeed now, but to success in the future? All right.
Tell me a story real quick about someone you worked with who was able to use those success factors, even when you weren't expecting them to.
Okay, great. I had this American guy who is responsible for a large American company. He was responsible for all of Asia, basically. And I received a phone call, and I'm a certified master coach in behavioral coaching and executive coaching. And I was asked by the global HR, said, we need you to coach this guy. I said, okay, what are we trying to do here? And she says, well, that's what we don't know. His mm-hmm. boss, the senior vice president, says that some people in the company think this guy will be our next global CEO. That's how highly they think of him. But some people think that he should be fired today. I said, oh. She said, so your challenge is I want you to go in and coach him and help us to figure out what's going on. I said, oh, so this is a challenge. So we get in there to work with him. And what we come to find out is the guy's very smart. He's very educated. He's working very hard. His wife is also, he's in Korea at this time. His wife is Chinese. So it's not cross-cultural issues so much, because he understands Asian culture and American culture. And I deal with that a lot, actually. But that wasn't it. But what it was that he wasn't applying his success factors act correctly, first of all. And second of all, was stakeholder management. And that's the key thing that a lot of people don't get. Stakeholder management, people think of, that's just my boss or somebody that works for me. But stakeholder management is about identifying those people that have an impact, that have an influence in your life, in your career. And oftentimes, they're not just the people on your org chart. He had some people within his organization who were stabbing him in the back. Hmm. All right? There was someone that he should have been helping. He didn't have to. It wasn't his job description. And it wasn't on his org chart, but it wouldn't hurt at all for him to work with the manufacturing leader in the United States because they work for the same company. What would it hurt? What would it hurt for him to help the other vice president who she could see him as a competition when he didn't see it that way? He's just trying to do his job. He's just working hard. So to develop a stakeholder management, I've developed a program where I help people identify those things, then identify a method of how they communicate with these individuals, how often, the methodology, and it's different for every person. But by thinking about that and working that through, they've developed a strategy that is very effective, that crosses borders, crosses cultures, all right? So that's one example where I think very few people do this well, but the people that have figured this out it's super important and it's super successful. And it's not to be politics. I'll give you one example really quick. It's, he had the global CFO coming around to him directly. All right. So does he know if his boss knows that or not? Or does he know that he should talk about it or not? He doesn't want to be political. He's just trying to do a good job. So what does he do? Well, in his stakeholder management program we have, it's very simple. We had it worked out to where he was speaking to his direct boss once a week, just a small memo, just saying, hey, this is what was happening in my world this past week, and this is what is happening this week. If you have any thoughts, encouragement, suggestions, complaints, criticisms, whatever, let me have it. Otherwise, I'm going on. Oh, and by the way, the global CFO reached out to me a couple of days ago to ask me about that new particular program. And my advice with him was A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Mm-hmm. Okay, just want to let you know. You see? So there he covered it. Very professional. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's very exciting, I think, to do that. But you know why also? Because you owe it to yourself to protect yourself, protect your career, protect your reputation, you know, protect your family. By doing the best that you can for yourself. We owe it to ourselves. And so I think people need to take their careers more serious and plan and lead themselves better, you know.
Excellent. Steve McKinney is the founder of McKinney Consulting. It's mckinneyconsulting.com, right?
Yes.
All right. Wonderful. And we'll look forward to your book. Should be interesting. Success factors. I'd say something that maybe we could all use ultimately.
Great.
Well, thank you for joining us. This has been the Startup Show. I'm John Biggs. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, John.